This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Phenomenal game between Dallas and the Clippers. You heard it on ESPN Radio. You saw it on ABC Television. This is Unsportsmanlike with Evan Canty and Michelle coming to you live from the Seaport, brought to you by Grey Goose. The Clippers had a 31-point lead, blew that lead, still held on to win the game over Luka and the Mavs. Somehow, some way, they do it 2-0 without Kawhi in this series, 0-2 with Kawhi in this series, which is just
very strange.
Very strange, to say the least. And James Harden was clutch down the stretch. What, I mean, if you think about yesterday in general in the NBA, right? You had the Phoenix Suns getting swept out of the building by Anthony Edwards and company. What that team does in the offseason is going to be just fascinating to watch. You had MSG basically in Philadelphia with the Knicks fans taking over that arena, and Joel Embiid, it's enough. It's over. Both ways. They should part ways this offseason. And you had the Clippers winning without Kawhi Leonard yesterday. Just a very odd day, a fun day in the NBA. Cortez in Atlanta, listening on the ESPN app. What's up, Cortez?
What's going on, guys? First off, I love you guys. Campy, you're my favorite sports personality. And Smalls, you usually have very educated takes on sports. But
thank
I must
you.
Say this, your guys' take on Kevin Durant was as lazy as can be. It lacked a lot of context. It's easy to dogpile on someone the morning after. But Kevin Durant played his heart out last night. You can look at Bradley Beal, 9 points fouled out. I knew about Bradley Beal the moment he signed an extension with the Washington Wizards that he was completely unserious about winning basketball. He's out to get his, and I understand that it's a short career, but he is not about winning. When you sign an extension with the Wizards, it lets me know you don't care about winning whatsoever. But Kevin Durant took a team to the finals at 23 years old. When he had good management and good ownership with Sam Presti and with Golden State, he flourished in his career. But Joe Tsai, Sean Marks, and now Matt Ishbia, they do nothing for roster management for him.
Yeah, but Cortez, that can't be his defense when he voluntarily left Golden State. That can't be the defense. Oh, he's with franchises that don't know what the hell they're doing. Yeah. Yeah, of course we know that. Captain Obvious. But that can't be his defense when he's the one that said, I want out. And they got him out. He went to Brooklyn. Congratulations, KD. You're in Brooklyn now. You have an opportunity to build it with Kyrie Irving and James Harden. How'd that work out? Not great. So much so that they had to blow the thing up midstream. And where did you end up going? You end up choosing the Phoenix Suns. You chose to be paired with Devin Booker. You chose to have Bradley Beal as your running mate and making sure that the Suns could facilitate a trade where they really gave up nothing for Bradley Beal to get him over from the Washington Wizards. This is of your own making. So I can't give you the benefit of the doubt, or I can't give you the excuse of the organization not building it the right way around you when you chose to be there.
He brought up two teams that Kevin Durant voluntarily left in Oklahoma City and the Warriors.
Sam Presti, in terms of building a team, if I had to build a team today, there's nobody that I want more.
As long as it's in that market, that cannot happen in a bigger market. There's no way, because we see it in Philadelphia, right? But I think he hit on an interesting team. I believe the Oklahoma City Thunder, what's the problem?
You're saying as long as it's in that market?
Meaning Oklahoma City. I don't think you can have that many years of losing and that many years of tanking in a big market and get away with it. Philadelphia's a mess right now. Philadelphia has been a mess. I just don't think you can get away with it for as long as Oklahoma City has gotten away with it.
How long was it, though? I think they had, what, two years where they had losing records?
But the deals they made would not be allowed to be made in a big market.
They were down 2 years. How long have they been doing the process in Philly?
Well, but that's
what are you talking about?
That's the problem here, is that I look at Oklahoma City and I think that's the target. Do you believe they're going to get to the finals this year?
No.
Okay. So if we don't, and neither do I. If they don't get to the finals, that's the team that I think that everyone should look at. For Embiid, for Durant, that is the team. They have more assets than any other team in the NBA. As we're sitting here and we're discussing all of these players that Embiid, Pat Costello, and I both saying should be out both ways. It should be a mutual, like we tried. It didn't work out. Durant can't be happy in Phoenix. Oklahoma City is the destination, I think, for a star player this summer.
Are you sure Kevin Durant makes Oklahoma City better?
Yeah, yes. I was going to ask that.
Well, I need to know what the trade is, but assuming they can get him without giving up Shea, the starter Jalen Williams, and Chet, then yes, I am sure.
But
you think Kevin Durant now makes teams worse? Is that what you're saying, Smalls and Pat?
No, I'm not. I'm certainly not suggesting that. But does that disrupt what they have going on in Oklahoma City? Like, does the balance of what they have get off put by KD going there?
Well, here's the problem that they're going to have. They have so, it's a good problem.
Yeah, KD should want OKC. I don't know if OKC should want KD.
They have so many good young players.
Yeah,
they're going to have to extend all of them, or want to extend all of them, that they're actually going to have to chop it up a little bit, because you can't do it for every single one of them. So acquiring KD's contract for a couple of guys actually alleviates a, I know that sounds crazy, but in the modern CBA that we live in, the collective bargaining agreement, it actually alleviates some of the problems that they're going to have. They have too many good players. I know that sounds ridiculous.
That sounds crazy.
I know that. But you can't actually extend all of them, so you have to consolidate a 3-for-1 deal.
Yeah, but I guess my only problem is, and it's to Small's point, the chemistry that they have in OKC right now. I got a 25-year-old in Shai Gilgeous-Alexander that is an MVP candidate.
Mm-hmm.
Does it make sense for me to bring in a 37-year-old guy that's a two-time champion, two-time finals MVP, and can he fit within the structure that I've already established with my team? I don't know the answer to that, which is why I asked the question, can you win a championship with KD as your best player?
Can you win one with Embiid?
Because by default, your best player is your leader. And I guess I'm not saying that they don't have leadership in OKC, but there's not leadership that would force a player of Kevin Durant's caliber to acquiesce to, or
right,
to essentially fit into.
You want him going to the Lakers. You want him going back to the Warriors.
He can go to the Miami Heat. Heat have leadership already in place. They got Bam Adebayo. They got Spo. They got Pat Riley. They got Jimmy Buckets. Like, I don't know if they could find a way to make it work contractually, but he could go to the Miami Heat. He would be the best player on the Heat, but they've already got an established culture, established leadership.
That's right.
He's not going to go in there and say, it's going to be my way. He's going to have to fit in or get out. I guess my whole point is, if he went to OKC, like, would he, I don't even want to use
who's
the word.
Who's telling him? Who's
I don't
telling
want to
him
use
no.
the word to submit, but would he defer to the leadership structure that's already in place? And I have my doubts about that.
Yeah, I do too. I think that if he was to go somewhere, it would have to be with someone that, for lack of a better term, is his peer. And that's not to discount what Shai has done or what Oklahoma City is building in any way, but it is a young group. And they are blooming in a way. And Kevin Durant is an established star. And I wonder if he can mesh well with that. It's easy for him to go to an already established place like Golden State and, to use your word, CeCe, defer in a way to Steph and Steve Kerr and Draymond and that group, because they had already done it. It's easy for him to go to a place like Miami where Heat culture is already a thing. He has to absorb what they already have built, whereas I wonder if he goes to OKC, if that completely disrupts what they have building there.
It really is remarkable that he's on his second, and I am a KD fan, but he's on his second, quote-unquote, super team failure. I mean, it's actually remarkable that he's on his
second. He's only played on super teams, though.
I know.
Only played on super teams.
But he's on his second version of the Eagles' dream team. He's on his second version of of Kobe, Dwight Howard, and Steve Nash. He's on his second version of that already. But we have something here. I want to ask you guys, can these players that starred or were supposed to start in the NBA yesterday win a title as the best player on the team? You both already said no with Kevin Durant. Can Devin Booker win a title as the best player on the team?
No.
Smalls?
I don't think so. I think he's going to need a complimentary piece.
Can Joel Embiid win a title as the best player on the team?
Yes, I think so.
I agree.
He's never been to the conference finals.
I still have faith that he could do it.
Yeah.
He's a phenomenal player. He's an MVP. He's unstoppable when he's healthy. But we are,
I was going to say,
at 31
if he's
years
healthy,
old,
if he's healthy, I have every confidence in him. And I know that's a huge if.
He's literally never been healthy at this time of year. He's 31 years old. He has a massive contract. He's never been to the conference finals. He's absolutely an MVP. And we're going to say that he can't win a title, or he can win a title as the best player on the team. And Durant, who's actually won two titles as the best player on the team, can't. That's what we're saying?
There's just no evidence to support that he can do it. There's nothing behind it. There's no evidence to say that Joel Embiid can be the best player on a championship team.
Also, did you say he or Heat? Because I thought there was like a Freudian slip there.
Oh, I'll was take it?
No, but no, no, I said, based on my logic, I have every player in the NBA on Miami next year.
Oh,
no,
I
but
know.
I mean, seriously, like we have all these players. Like yesterday was a really hard one for me as somebody that believed in the Sixers. I was so disappointed with them on so many levels. The Embiid press, not knowing that they were going to miss intentionally. How about Luka? Are we ready? I mean, Luka's so young. Do we think Luka can win a title? Best player on a team? Because yesterday was a hit for Luka, too. You can't lose that game at home with the chance to go up 3-1 in the Clippers without Kawhi. Can he win a title as the best player on a team?
Yeah, I think Luka can win a title. I mean, Luka's so young, man.
I know. That's yeah. the catch.
And he was dealing with that
what
knee.
What is he, 24 years old? He's so young.
Yeah.
Like, he's got an opportunity to grow as a player, and he has to get better. Like, he's got to find ways to get more of his teammates involved, engaged. It can't be take-your-turn basketball like it was last night against the Clippers. Like, it's like, okay, Kyrie, you go. Now I go. They have to find a way to get other guys involved, and Luka's got to be more committed on the defensive end more consistently in order for this team to realize their full potential and go on another deep playoff run. But, yeah, I think you can win a title with Luka as your best player. He got to the conference finals once upon a time. So
Smalls?
Yeah, I'm with you on Luka. I know you wanted more from him yesterday, but to you guys' point, he's young. He was dealing with a knee. I still think that Luka is certainly a centerpiece that you could build around and win a championship with.
So there was an unintended consequence of that exercise just now. Yesterday may be the number one day where it really is illuminated. We are in a new era of basketball in the NBA. Anthony Edwards, your guy, face of the league candidate,
no
definitely
doubt.
The leader in the clubhouse, right?
No doubt.
Guys like Kevin Durant, Joel Embiid, Giannis and Dame, who didn't play yesterday. Mm-hmm. It's not that they're out, but there may be a wave of younger players that are taking that number one guy mantle, and some of those guys may be relegated to number two. Not Giannis, but Dame is already. You're suggesting Kevin Durant needs to be. Pat and I are suggesting maybe Embiid needs to be, right? I mean, we're looking at a bunch of guys. Luka, no, but you're also saying at some point we're going to put this on Luka. How many different versions of the Mavs are you not going to win with?
Yeah, if they get bounced by the Clippers in the first round and Kawhi Leonard plays and doesn't play in the majority of the games, that is an indictment on the Mavs.
No doubt.
I mean, think about it. I mean, the games that Kawhi Leonard hadn't played in, they've lost. Like that, like mm-hmm. you know, it's just like that. That is. Like, you've been handed an opportunity to take control of your playoff fate in the first round. You stole home court in game two, and you follow that up by losing game four on your home floor with no Kawhi Leonard? Like, that is completely unacceptable. And this was a team, the last 6 weeks in the regular season, we were saying, hey, nobody's going to want to play in the playoffs. Well, if they get bounced in the first round, then you have to question how long Dallas – is going to decide to keep Kyrie and Luka Doncic together. I know that Kyrie's extended, but I mean, there's a part of this that feels like Kyrie is giving you the best version of himself so he can get to a preferred destination. So I'm just wondering
how long
this lasts if they don't get out of the first round.
You could say it. What's that preferred destination in your mind?
I mean, back with LeBron.
Yeah.
Oh.
I think you learn another thing out of this. And Dan Graziano is going to join us in a couple minutes here, ESPN NFL reporter. You learned another thing. Whenever you thought Ant-Man was going to be the face of the league, move that timeline up a little bit, please.
Yeah.
It's happening sooner than I think any of us would have thought.
It's happening now.
It's happening now. It's happening
now. It's happening now.
We're on Sportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance.
Can you remember the last time you had fun on a bike ride? Lectric e-bikes, the number one seller of e-bikes in America, is here to bring fun and joy back to biking. Their riders routinely say they feel like kids again riding these bikes, and one even said, I'm a 46-year-old man, and I can honestly say I haven't had this much fun on a bike since I was 10 years old. These e-bikes from Lectric are fast. They're up to 28 miles per hour. They offer lightweight and foldable e-bikes, so you can easily take them on the go to explore national parks, campgrounds, and more. Even if you don't have a truck, trailer, or a bike rack, many of their models will fit in the trunk of a car. They also offer long-range batteries that provide over 65 miles of range so you can explore further and longer. Just head on over to electricebikes.com today and take their bike quiz to find a model that's perfect for your needs. That's electricebikes.com.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Unsportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance, for motorcycles, boats, and RVs. For protection on the road and on the water, to see how much you could save at 1-800-PROGRESSIVE and progressive.com. Dan Graziano is here, ESPN NFL reporter. Had a good story over the weekend, ESPN.com, about draft overreactions.
Oh, yeah.
You forgot about that? You were looking up like you forgot what story I was talking about there.
I said the Zeke Elliott stuff. Draft overreaction. What's better for the overreactions column than the draft? Like instant overreactions. We have no idea how any of these guys are going to play, but let's make sweeping conclusions about how these teams did. I love it.
Well, then let's talk about somebody who did play yesterday, because Joel Embiid, your thoughts?
On Joel Embiid?
Yeah.
I mean, I can't stand watching him. I can't stand watching him. Like, all he's trying to, like, we were on the meeting this morning. I'm listening to the basketball folks talk about it. And somebody said, well, why is he passing up a 10-footer and going inside? Because he's not trying to hit the shot. He's only trying to get fouled.
Oh, that was
his whole game.
That mid-range bunny that he should have shot.
The Knicks are so much fun to watch. They're so enjoyable. And the Sixers are just, like, miserable and misery. Like, I don't know. Get him out.
All right. Some of the draft reactions. Now, obviously, you're having fun with these, but
obviously, I don't know. It's very serious. It's very serious business. These overreactions.
All right, so here you go.
Take this very seriously.
Here, you're going to pick one. Okay, these within Graz's story. Uh-huh. Brady to Vegas.
Yeah, that was a little bit of a
Daniel Jones, 4-year starter for the Giants. Yeah. Brandon Ayuk out in San Fran, and the Eagles NFC East is theirs. Pick a story. Which
pick
one you want?
A story.
Which one are you most passionate about from the ones you put in your column this weekend?
The Eagles one is interesting because, like, did they overtake Dallas in the draft was kind of the thought. And I thought, no. I thought if you liked the Eagles better than Dallas going into the draft, you still can. And if vice versa, then you still, like, I don't think Dallas had a bad draft. Like, people have said they didn't get a running back, but I mean, like, it's running back. Like, they're always shake loose in the summer. So they addressed the offensive line. They moved down. They got two for the price of one. I thought that was fine. And then the Eagles made a billion trades. I think they got three more picks next year as a result of all their moves. So I think obviously we know that Dallas won't win the division next year because they won it this year.
Graz, you said the folks that...
I don't make the rules.
You said the folks that criticized the Michael Penix move was... not an overreaction. Please go into detail about
I mean,
that.
Look, it's they just signed Kirk Cousins 6 weeks ago to a 4-year contract with $100 million guaranteed, and then you use the 8th overall pick in the draft on a quarterback, a 24-year-old quarterback. And if you're saying Kirk Cousins, if you look at Kirk Cousins' contract, you're expecting him to play for you for 2 years at least. Now you got Michael Penix going to be 26 before he ever plays for you in your ideal situation. And when does the ideal situation ever work out, right? Like, more likely, you have a situation where Kirk Cousins has a bad game and people want to see Penix, and now you've created a difficult situation for your brand-new coaching staff, right? So I just think – and you didn't, by the way, do anything to really make your team, your roster, better for 2024, which I think you're expecting to contend if you bring in Kirk Cousins. So I think that's a source of frustration for some people. Fundamentally, it's a salary cap league. The draft is about finding value, getting players to perform at a high level before you have to pay them significant money. So, and with the 8th pick in the draft, you have to find somebody who can contribute for you at value for at least the next 4 years. They have put themselves in a position where they cannot possibly get maximum value out of Kirk Cousins' contract and Michael Penix's rookie contract. The allocation of resources is irresponsible, quite frankly, and I'm not surprised anybody is criticizing it.
Before I jump in with a question, Evan, did you want to respond with the quarterback rules at all?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean,
so you go, then I'll go.
As laminated here.
Laminated?
Yeah, we have a laminator, you know. Yeah. Pineapple Jack from Greeny is a laminator. Huh. Rule number 2. Draft a quarterback when you want one, not when you need one.
Right.
Tell me the last time that failed.
What do you mean?
When teams are drafting quarterbacks when they want one, not when they need one. Right. Most teams draft quarterbacks when they need one.
Right.
This is the smartest thing the Atlanta Falcons have done in God knows how long. If you believe Michael Penix is good, he doesn't have to play right away. There are going to be at least 3 of the first-round quarterbacks that will fail because they play right away, Gross.
Then everyone... should pick quarterbacks at the top of the draft till they run out. Like the first however many picks of the draft should be quarterback.
Yeah.
That's your stance then, if that's the case. Why draft any other position ever? Like I don't understand it. Like it's you have to it's the lack of a plan, right? Like, your plan was Kirk Cousins. Like, that was, and now you change it in 5-6 weeks. Like, it's not, it doesn't make, because you fell in love with Michael Penix. You have the 8th pick in the draft. You need to maximize that. You have the 8th pick in the draft because you sucked last year. Like, you need to take advantage of that, or you're going to be picking 8th again, which, by the way, this is the second year in a row, and maybe 3rd year out of the last 4, I think, that they were picking 8th. At some point, you want to stop picking 8th. And I don't think this is a pick that gets you there anytime soon. Honestly, like, it's just, you have to allocate your resources better than this. They just have to. If you really want to take Penix, then trade down, add a pick or two, and use the pick that way. Use your resources that way. I don't get how you can just sit there and say, we signed Kirk Cousins. We think we have a good offensive core. We think we can contend in our lousy division, win our lousy division, maybe contend in the playoffs, and then just decide to use the 8th pick on somebody that you're, in your best case scenario, you're not going to see for 2 years.
But this is a sport where, more than any other sport, only one position matters. You complement that position, but if you don't have a quarterback, you become irrelevant. You're picking in the top 10 every single year. So Atlanta, how I look at it, mm-hmm. is Atlanta is saying to everyone, mm-hmm. we never want to pick in the top 10 over the next decade, because if our plan works, to me they have an extreme plan that actually makes a lot of sense, that we're going to have Kirk Cousins for the next 2 or 3 years. Right. Then after that, we're going to have Michael Penix for 6 or 7 years. Right. We will never need a quarterback if this works. That is this sport.
If. So you're going to get, instead of getting an usual 3 or 4 year evaluation that most teams get on a rookie quarterback, you've shortened yours to 1 or 2. Like, if Cousins plays 2 years and Penix plays in 2026, then whatever he does in 2026, you have to decide right after that season about his 5th-year option. Like, you've shortened the length of the rookie quarterback.
Green Bay Packers don't regret doing that.
The Green Bay Packers used, what pick was that, 20-something?
24, I believe, something like that? They
had a quarterback in his mid-30s that was coming off his 2 worst years from a QBR standpoint. They felt like it would be 1 year, and then the guy won 2 MVP awards, and there wasn't much they could do about it. He changed their plan. If Kirk Cousins wins 2 straight MVP awards... then what are the Falcons going to do with Michael Penix?
Same thing that Jordan Love. You figure out the 5th-year option.
Or you make him sign a contract that would be below what the 5th-year option would pay him.
Sure, sure. Yeah, it's great. Look, again, that's great. That's wonderful. I mean, if the Falcons are so good and so stacked and so successful every year like the Packers are, that they can make a play like that and feel good about it, good for them. But it doesn't seem like they have the same amount of currency in the bank on this.
That you're right about, but I guess the argument, it's just quickly, Smalls, and then obviously over to you. The argument would be Atlanta has been terrible since Matt Ryan because they didn't have a quarterback. So the whole thing starts with actually having good quarterback play.
Right. Sure.
And now they have a chance at good quarterback play.
Sure.
For literally a decade.
Sure. But I mean, like, 2 years from now, there's not going to be any quarterbacks in a draft. I don't understand. Like, what's the reason to do it now? What if he stinks?
Because you might not be able to get that quarterback. Like, if you're going to be good with Kirk Cousins based on how he's played, but they are the prohibitive favorite to win the NFC South.
The premise is, we know right now that Michael Penix is better than whoever's going to be in the draft 2 years from now.
No, what we're saying is that it's a quarterback-rich draft this year, and you're in the top 10.
Right.
You have an opportunity to get one of those guys without mortgaging future draft capital 2 years down the road when your team is picking in the 20s because you've been in the playoffs.
Right. So the guy you've got is going to be 26 2 years from now. He won't have started a game, and you're still hoping he's good, as opposed to drafting a guy, you know, who's 22 coming out of college. He might have a higher ceiling.
Well, I mean, Groz, if I get 10 years of runway with the kid, who cares?
Yeah, if. That's great.
Yeah, but that's with any of them now. That's with any of them, whether he's 22 or 26.
Yeah, I guess, but you're more likely to get 10 years of runway if he's 22 than 26. I mean, that's a significant number of years, right? I mean, I don't know. Quarterbacks last forever. I get it. If the guy's good, then obviously it'll look good as we look back on it. It'll say, well, good thing they got Michael Penix. But in the short term, when you're trying to maximize your resources, they did not do a good job of it.
Smalls?
Dan, a team that's certainly hoping that they have a quarterback for 10-plus years is the Chicago Bears. I can't remember this time or the last time I was this excited about Chicago Bears football. They made some really smart offseason moves. They had a great draft. But then I look at the division they're in. The NFC North all of a sudden looks a lot tougher. So what do you think about the Bears? Do you think that they could be a playoff team?
I think they could. I think they have the ability and the roster. I like what they did in the draft with their 4 picks. I think they got the best they could out of that. Mike T had a line, said they had the best offensive weapon from USC, the best offensive weapon from Washington, and the best offensive weapon from Iowa because he's the punter. So, yeah, look, I think they're poised to do it. You're right. It's going to be tough. The Detroit Lions aren't going anywhere.
No,
I don't see any reason to think that they would. And it's much like we're talking about like in the AFC East with the Jets. Why do you still like the Bills? Well, I've seen their coaching staff manage a team through a season to the playoffs. We've seen that with Detroit. We haven't seen it yet with Chicago. So pressure's on them. And it's on Caleb Williams to be good right from the jump because they've put him in a great position.
Yes.
If he can play, if he's what they think he is, then I think instantly you have yourself a team that can contend for the playoffs, yes.
Great stuff as always from Dan Graziano. He'll be on GetUp at 8 a.m. Eastern. The aforementioned Mike Tannenbaum will join us next. We're on Sportsmanlike on ESPN Radio. We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
ESPN NFL front office insider Mike Tannenbaum is here, coming off of his time in Detroit, our time at an event on Friday, or was it Thursday, that Mike and I had more lobster rolls and chicken fingers than any two humans alive.
Take the over.
Oh, did we dominate that? Did we dominate that? All right, let's first talk about this. We've been talking a lot today about the idea of trading for and trading away stars when it comes to the NBA. It feels like we're maybe at the end of Kevin Durant already in Phoenix. Maybe, possibly, we've been debating all of us about Joel Embiid in Philadelphia. How hard is it to trade for and trade away stars?
Yeah, to me, the object of the exercise, guys, is acquire great players who are great people, who are selfless teammates. Like, Joel Embiid, I want him. Like, the guy's hurt. He allegedly has Bell's palsy as well. Like, I want him on my team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean,
even with all the injuries, even knowing this time of year, and I do too, but this time of year you may not get him.
Yeah, is he playing hurt though? Like,
yeah, he's playing hurt.
Yeah, like, why wouldn't we want him on our team?
I'm with Mike T on this one. It doesn't make sense to me. Like, everybody talks about he's always hurt. He's always hurt. That's true, but he's never not like he's out there on the court in the postseason. He might not be the best version of himself, but he's out there.
So maybe a better way of asking it, probably for both of you, then would be: does time just run out with a team and a player? Like, where we've tried this, we know you're great, we know you love us, et cetera, et cetera, that maybe just time has run out.
Yeah.
Didn't that happen with Damian Lillard, kind of?
Yes, great example, Smalls.
Yeah, so here's what I would say to that, guys. Like, I used to say this when people would grumble about coaches or whatever. You know, hey, great, you want to move on from Joel Embiid. Who are we going to get, and how much is that player going to cost, either from dollars or a cap standpoint? You don't like this coach, you don't like this play caller, who do you want to get? Like, don't come to me with the problem. Come to me with the solution.
Well, I guess the Atlanta Falcons created a problem when it comes to their quarterback room. I mean, listen, 1,000%. They drafted Michael Penix Jr. with a top 10 pick weeks after they paid Kirk Cousins a $180 million contract with a nine-figure guarantee. What did you make of that move? Where do you fall on it?
Yeah, it was bewildering. This is not a process-driven organization, and here's why. If we were running an NFL team and a new head coach sat right here, we would say, okay, we're going to spend the next week looking at all the opportunities at the quarterback position. Can we trade for Justin Herbert? Can we sign Tom Brady? Is Daniel Jones available? Is it Jacoby Brissett? Joe Flacco, the whole universe. Here's six quarterbacks in the draft. How do we want to allocate our precious resources between salary cap dollars and draft choices? 5.5 weeks later, after you give a guy $100 million, and he has a really good agent, Mike McCartney, who I am sure sat down and said, what is your plan? Hey, if we get you, we have a really good offense. We were 21st in sacks. We're going to draft the defense, and away we go. Great. Here we come. 5.5 weeks later, you take a top 10 pick, and you take a quarterback. The only question that's really relevant to me now is, neither quarterback wants to be there. Which one is going to request a trade first? If you're Kirk Cousins – You signed up 5.5 weeks ago. He knows that the first time he throws a bad pass that they'll be calling for Michael Penix. Why not go to Vegas and throw it to Brock Bowers and Devontae Adams? If you're Michael Penix, every rookie quarterback in the world has one thought in my mind. It's a race to the second contract. They're making really good money, don't get me wrong, but transformational wealth is that $50, $55 million a year. Michael Penix is only going to get that if he plays reasonably well, which I think he will, but he's not going to do it sitting on the bench. So when you're the Falcons and every resource is so precious and you have a top 10 pick and the best pass rusher in the draft is there and you don't take him, you have created two inconsistent timelines. Win now, $100 million, Kirk Cousins. Win later with Michael Penix. If we didn't have a salary cap, it's brilliant. But when you have precious resources, you're not maximizing a deal. You signed 5.5 weeks ago. You betrayed him. And then with Michael Penix, you're hoping he doesn't play. The value of a rookie contract is to acquire other great players when you're on a rookie deal.
Mike, I want to go back to something that you said, because when I was looking at the Falcons getting Michael Penix, I'm looking at it from a resources perspective. Elongating that runway you have with a quarterback, hopefully a franchise quarterback, to be in a better position moving forward. But I didn't really think about the disruption that it could cause in the locker room and from a culture standpoint. Do you think that that move would really be that detrimental to what the Falcons have?
100%. Look, I made a mistake. I brought in Tim Tebow. We had a good young quarterback in Mark Sanchez, and it divided our locker room. It created more distractions than it solved. And look, Kirk Cousins isn't going to say it, Michelle, but you know he's like, I didn't sign up for this. I could have just been a Minnesota Viking, presumably probably for roughly $40 million a year. I went to another place for another $5 million a year. My wife's from Atlanta. But this is not what I signed up for. I know how it is to be a backup quarterback. I was one to RG3. So as soon as we have an interception or a bump in the road, it's going to be about Michael Penix. That's not what I wanted. I am not entrenched here. If I'm Michael Penix, I want a chance to go play. I wish I was a Raider. I could have go started this year. I could go be C.J. Stroud, and as soon as I'm extension eligible, I could be getting $55 to $60 million a year. I may not have been on the field until then.
But, Mike, why is it okay for Kirk Cousins to do business and not the Falcons? He's not there because he wants to be. He's there because they offered him more money.
So take Jared Goff. Jared Goff gets a $100 million extension from the Rams, and a year later he's traded to Detroit. That was a performance. He was deficient in his performance, and he got shipped to Detroit. Okay. This is 5 weeks later. If they said to you, Evan, we want you to leave Sirius Radio, and we're going to pay you a three-year deal at X amount of dollars to work with Chris Canty and Michelle Smallman, great. And then 5 weeks later, before they ever look at ratings, they're like, you know what, Evan, you're with ESPN, but we're going to put you on from midnight to 4 in the morning.
That's their right.
Yeah.
If it's not.
So how would you feel?
But Mike.
Answer my question.
If they broke the contract, I'd
they
feel
did
like
break
crap.
The contract. They're paying
but
you.
I wouldn't sign a contract that wouldn't have me guaranteed in this slot. That's the difference. It's not an apples to apples, Mike.
Of course it is. If they say you're going to work for ESPN Radio on a national radio show, and then they shift the time on you, but they're going to pay you what you said they're going to pay you, you wouldn't be upset about that?
Maybe, but an NFL contract that you've signed a million of them,
right,
do not state your play. They state your pay.
Right.
A radio contract states your play.
Yeah,
but when I attract a player and say, here is what we're going to do, our plan is firmly etched in pencil.
But he's going to be the starter for the next 2 or 3 years.
Right. No, your plan should be firmly etched in pencil. When unexpected opportunities come along, you should take advantage of them the way Jordan Love was, the way Aaron Rodgers was. The reason that's apples to oranges is this, guys, and this is really important. This was 5 weeks ago. 5 weeks ago. He hasn't played a down yet. He hasn't walked a snap.
But isn't that a part of the point, though? Like, it is somewhat of a built-in hedge because we don't know what version of Kirk Cousins is going to show up in Atlanta.
So
we have no idea.
Right, but
he's in his mid-30s. He's going into his age 36 season coming off of an Achilles injury.
Right. So, Chris, what I would have said to you is if we have any concerns about Kirk Cousins, he's sharing the risk. We're not giving him $100 million. Or alternatively, if we love Michael Penix, let's go get Michael Penix. We got him and Raheem Morris, and we're going to go for the next 10 years and build it together. They're inconsistent decisions.
Well, it's not inconsistent. What it's saying is, hey, listen, we have two options. If for whatever reason one of them doesn't work, we have another option. Like, to me, that just makes sense in a division that they should cakewalk through in the NFC South.
But they, Chris, they haven't had a double-digit pass rusher since 2016 and Vic Beasley.
Yeah, they haven't had a winning season
since
2017, 2018?
Which is incredibly inconsistent with what their head coach came out and said when he goes, well, we'll never have another chance to do it. But
the head coach also said he wouldn't have the job if they had better quarterback play last year.
Right, but if you're investing $100 million in an asset, maximize it.
But here's my point. I guess they don't know what
what condition the asset is going to be in.
Right, but Chris, that's even more incredulous. How could you give somebody that type of deal if you're concerned
because
about
it? Because that's what the market is. They have no choice. Like, they had no quarterback.
But that's my point. You're missing the point. Yes, you do, because if you're walking in and I'm your GM, here is the universe. We could go try to get Joe Flacco. We could go try to get Jaden Daniels. If we think we could go get Michael Penix, let's take that $100 million.
They tried with the backup quarterbacks. It didn't work. They tried with Taylor Heineke. It didn't work. Right. They tried with Desmond
Ridder. So draft
Ritter,
Michael Penix and take that salary cap resource.
But we don't know that Michael Penix is going to be ready to play as a rookie.
That's the thing.
A division that's ready to win now.
Right. But so, Chris, when you make the decision to get Kirk Cousins, take those other assets and maximize the ability to go win the division right now, which is go draft Leitu Latu, go draft
you
Dallas
can't do it without a quarterback. They have a good roster. They have a top 10 defense. They have an offensive line that's a brick wall. They got the skill position players. Bijan Robinson, Drake London, Cobb. They have everything you need except the damn quarterback.
And a defense that was 21st in the league in sacks. And again, they haven't had a good defense. And by the way, Bud Dupree hasn't signed, and they lost Calais Campbell. So if you're bringing in Kirk Cousins to win now in a division you could have, go fix your defense. It was a great plan. And to me, this is an example of an organization.
The defense wasn't that bad, though, Mike T. They were 11th in total defense last year.
They can't rush the passer. And they were terrible on third down. And you're bad on third down because you can't rush the passer.
Mike, I think that, and we got to run in a second here. I think that
we're just warming up.
Yeah, I think they're extremely consistent, actually, in Atlanta. You say they're inconsistent. The front office, led by Rich McKay, is all about job preservation. They did not hire Bill Belichick because they were nervous that they were going to get fired. So by drafting a quarterback when you already have one, then you never need one, then you never get fired. If you have a quarterback the entirety of the time you're there, you will keep your job. But they are consistent in job preservation.
If Kirk Cousins was sitting there and Michael Penix was sitting here and they answered a question honestly, neither guy wants to be there. So that's a real problem because Kirk Cousins signed up for a set of circumstances 5.5 weeks ago. That's not the case today. Michael Penix is wishing he looks at all his other guys. J.J. McCarthy is going to play. Jaden Daniels is going to play. Caleb Williams is going to play. Bo Nix is going to play. I am sitting. I need to get to the second contract as quickly as possible. So I don't want to be there either. I'd rather be a Raider.
Yeah, I think he has the benefit of sitting. I think all the other guys that are going to play right away have a chance to fail quickly. He does not. We're Unsportsmanlike on ESPN Radio.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Each and every day at this time, our producer, Pat Costello, Philly sports fan, gives us items in and around sports, entertainment, his life, that he's over. Go ahead, Pat.
I mean, if the cleanup robots at the grocery store want to sponsor the segment, I'm all ears. I'm ready.
Cool.
Whenever you want, clean up grocery store robots. I'm in. What I'm not in on is Joel Embiid.
Oh,
it's time to move on. This is not a championship team. There were some fun years. He was great. He won an MVP. The guy can't stay healthy. He hasn't been healthy for the entire process. Not a single time. Not a single season has he been fully healthy. He can't even play two straight quarters. I mean, he could barely walk by the end of the game. And like, look, I get it. He's not healthy. I understand that. But that doesn't help the Sixers win a championship. It's time to move on. Evan, you mentioned it, and it's a great point. Sometimes things are just over. Sometimes things run their course, and it's time for everyone to just part ways. That's where the Sixers are. It's time to move on.
That's the way I feel about it, because here's the thing. I'm not going to try to talk out of both sides of my mouth, because if you say to me, hey, my team can acquire Embiid, I want him. I absolutely want him, but I think it's time that they move on. I think he needs to learn how to win somewhere and be taught how to win, because Philly ain't it, and they need to stop this process and turn it into a different process. There were three moments yesterday that I watched that game against the Knicks, and I'm just like, wow, I can't believe the basketball smarts on this team are so low. One, when Embiid is pressing full court late by himself, which is one of the weirdest. Why would you do that, right? Then Embiid has a wide-open mid-range jumper and decides to go drive in to get fouled. And then also, Kyle Lowry misses a free throw on purpose but doesn't tell anybody. So they're just standing there. You can't be that basketball dumb. Sorry.
Yeah, it's not great, but I'll say this. I think the better solution is trying to bring in guys that have more championship experience as opposed to moving Joel Embiid to someplace that has that culture already in place. Like, I just don't see the Sixers making that kind of decision just because I don't think they're going to get equal value for a Joel Embiid trade because of the injury history, right? We still are talking about a guy that in the two regular seasons prior to this one played in 65 games or more and averaged over 30 points per. Like, I'm not moving off of a guy that is a year removed from an MVP, knowing that I came into a season with a brand new head coach and the guy missed 2 months of the year because he was banged up. Like, I just think it's a little bit of a knee-jerk reaction, pun intended. The Sixers have a dozen guys on expiring contracts. Like, you're going to have an opportunity this offseason with draft picks and cap space to reshape this roster dramatically around Embiid and Maxey, and I think you do that before you decide to move off of them. I'm not saying you shouldn't have urgency about it. I'm not saying that this shouldn't be a conversation if things go off the rails next year, but I think that's a conversation for the summer of 2025, not summer of 2024.
I see what Evan's trying to do here. He's trying to make all roads lead to Embiid going to Miami.
Yeah.
Oh, he needs to go somewhere and learn how to win. You mean kind of like LeBron James did when he had to go to Miami to get into a culture of winning in order for him to unlock his highest potential? I see what you're doing here, Evan. You want to just make sure that the narrative gets out there that Embiid should go to Miami.
I mean, I wouldn't say no to that, Smalls, but God's honest truth, that is not actually what I'm doing with him. I see it more with Durant, to be honest with you on this. I just think time's up. Like, you brought up the comparison, Dame Lillard. Like, time was just up. I think time's up on this.
Well, he just got with a real head coach. Like Nick Nurse.
Nick Nurse did not look like a real head coach yesterday.
Yesterday. He didn't cover himself in glory, but to his defense, he doesn't have a lot of great options either.
But he's had four or five head coaches, four or five different co-stars.
So we're saying Nick Nurse is not a good coach?
I never said that.
Okay.
I said he wasn't good yesterday.
Nick Nurse is markedly better than Doc Rivers.
Why?
And Brett Brown was.
But why?
What do you mean why?
Well, he won a championship in his first year, but why is he a good coach now?
What do you mean? Have you seen the teams that Nick Nurse has coached?
Yeah, he won a championship in his first year, and look where they are now. Look where the Sixers are. This is not like a good team.
It's not a good
team.
He hasn't done this amazing job.
You
answer your own question. It's not a good team.
It should be.
It's not a good team.
It should be a better team.
It should be a good team. Honestly, it really should be. I actually think they have more than you think they have. I think they should be way better than they actually are.
Buddy Hield is unplayable.
Well, that took an interesting turn.
He's unplayable.
See, I think that we're also forgetting, and I know, Pat, you have other things. I think we're forgetting one moment here. I think everything turned when they decided Daryl Morey's obsession, their president of basketball operations, his obsession with James Harden really hurt this franchise. He went in and got Harden. Outside of yesterday, he's not a great postseason performer, combined with Embiid, who's not a great postseason performer. And then they have the battle in the offseason. They have to trade him. All the contracts you don't like are, in many ways, outside of
Tobias Harris is making $40 million a year.
Outside of that one,
Buddy
Hield
is making $20 million this year.
But it's all because they had to get rid of
Nick Batum is making $10 million. That's $70 million in contracts for players that are awful.
It's because they had to get rid of Harden.
I'm not saying you're
wrong. This is more Buddy Hield content than anyone needs, let's be honest.
I agree with you.
We don't need to talk about Nick Batum and Buddy Hield.
You're talking about Nick Nurse being his terrible coach. I'm saying, look at the guys that he's working with here. Look at the players that he has.
Look, all I'm saying is, won a championship, lost in the conference semis, missed the playoffs, lost in the first round, missed the playoffs, about to lose in the first round. That's not a good track record. I'm going to keep going. This is more Sixers content than anyone needs. Michelle, I need your advice on something. I had a buddy go through a breakup recently, and my sister brought something up to me. Okay. She says, "What happened?" And I said, "I don't know."
Oh,
and the internet and my sister both informed me that this is a problem, and I don't know why, because I didn't know that I was supposed to care about, like, how a breakup went down. Is this a thing, or am I crazy?
No, this is a thing, Pat. I don't understand why you wouldn't ask the obvious follow-up question of what happened. I had this situation once. I had an ex-boyfriend, and he comes over to my house, and he's like, "Oh, so-and-so is getting divorced." And I said, "What?" This is his best friend his entire life. And I said, "What? Why? What happened?" And he goes, "Oh, I don't know. I didn't ask." I go, what do you mean you didn't ask? How can you not ask? You need to know, A, what happened so that you can for several reasons, determine which path to go down. You need to know if we are mad at either party in this situation, and you need to know what happens so you can effectively support your friend.
See,
you
here's the thing.
Definitely need to ask.
I'm going
to
support my friend, and I'm not mad at anyone. I'm just like, oh, okay, they broke up. You know, they probably had a good run. I don't know. Whatever.
If he broke up,
we're
with
never
going to
talk about her again.
But if he broke up with her, maybe he feels happy and a sense of freedom. If she dumped him, maybe he's bummed out. And you need to be a friend that's checking in, a friend that's taking him out. You need to know what happened.
So, Smalls, you don't operate under the assumption that if somebody doesn't want to tell you, you shouldn't ask?
No, I think if it's your close friend, you should ask. It's just a very casual, easy follow-up. Oh, my gosh, I'm so shocked. What happened?
I did ask that, and he was like, eh, it didn't work out. And I was like, okay, that's good enough for me.
Okay, well, if he shut it down, that's different.
You want to get pizza? That's Pat's next response. We're on Sportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance.
Thanks for listening to the Unsportsmanlike podcast on ESPN Radio. You can listen to Unsportsmanlike live weekdays from 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and on SiriusXM Channel 80. You can also watch on ESPN2 and on ESPNU. Unsportsmanlike with Evan, Canty, and Michelle.